Saturdays just after 10 a.m. It's time for Ed. Current events, politics, pop culture from Connecticut and beyond. It's Ed Says on the Talk of Connecticut.
Good morning, hello, and welcome. Let's jump right into Ed Says for this, the 27th of September, 2017, 888-574-2723. So let's do corrections corner or update corner. Yesterday we were talking about the flag, the knee, Kaepernick, Trump, donations. Some people who called in seemed to think that the question was, what did Kaepernick do to earn his right to protest? And, you know, what time did he give, what volunteer? He's a rich crybaby, blah, blah, blah. And I corrected those people in saying that actually he just won an award for the time he gives and the money he gives, his $1 million initiative. And I asked what Trump had done with that money he had pledged to hurricane victims, the Harvey relief, as he had pledged $1 million. And we hadn't heard anything. So I looked it up. The story I found was from the 6th. I found an update from the 16th in which he had made good on that. It was called into question because he vowed to give $1 million of his personal fortune to veterans charities, plus an additional $5 million that he had raised during a fundraiser. But it was revealed months later that he had not made good on that and only gave $1 million of that total of $6 million after facing pressure from the media. He also, 8 months after he was sworn into office, his inaugural committee still has not fulfilled the promise to donate leftover funds to charities. Now they raised $107 million. So I called into question what he was doing because he has said he will do things and does not. Now, he made good on this one, and I wanted to be completely fair. His donation to Harvey Relief, $1 million of personal funds, has been made. Fair enough. I said the scrutiny was there were times where he had pledged money and had not done it. And juxtaposition, the idea that somebody has to do something in order to protest is laughable to me. That was what one of the callers was suggesting, that, oh, well, if Kaepernick hasn't done this, that, and the other, even if he didn't vote, which he says plainly he didn't do, there is no prerequisite to protesting. And the weird thing is that we didn't care again until Trump tweeted about it. It's been going on for a year. It cost the man his job. But I digress on that. Before I get into what I want to call is the reality of racism, let's go to Cuba in Bloomfield. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ed. How do you do, sir?
Doing all right. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. What's going on?
Well, sir, you know, it is unfortunate that most of our people, not say most, but some of our people, is a small clique within our society who are among the unwashed, insist on buying in to your former colleague, that the one who went before you, to spread some of the most vicious and nasty and depraved ideas in our society. One of the things that I came here to America for is that I was brought up in Birmingham, England, and it's one thing, when it comes to fascists, we dealt with them. We seriously dealt with them, and they had to move out. I live here in the heart in Bloomfield, Connecticut, and my neighbors are respectful. I'm respectful to them. No one need to tell me that the flag of the United States is important symbol to this country. It is. It must be respected and revered. But when people try to misinterpret and deliberately tried to see whether or not they can redefine reality to the weak-minded in our community, it makes me furious. The issue with the footballers is not disrespect to the flag. Dan Lovallo, you know that. Your ancestors came here in the last shower of rain from Italy with all their Mussolini traits. Do not bring it here. In England and in Europe, we crush fascism. And I don't want to be too old to be saying to be fighting fascism here in America. Don't bring it here. take it back to Italy where you feel, where you're more likely to feel safe with it. And I doubt it very much if the Italian people tolerate you today.
Now, Cuba, now, I thank you, as always, for the call. You aren't wrong. This isn't about the flag. This isn't about the anthem. People are trying to make it about that. You can't take a man's actions and twist them because you're upset about how he goes about doing something. You have every right to be upset. If it offends you, fine. But you can't twist what the message is. You know what offends me? The fact that some people can't operate the self-checkout, or they go through the 12 items or less with more than 12 items. But you know what I do? I just go about my day. The movement against the NFL is failing miserably as the ratings are up 63%. But I want to talk about what's behind this. And it is casual racism. As you heard in that Fox News report, a volunteer fire chief is out of job as he decided to go online and write on his Facebook page, Tomlin just added himself to the list of no good using the N-word. Yes, I said it, according to the comment. In a statement he wrote, I am embarrassed at this. I want to apologize. I was frustrated and angry at the Steelers for not standing for the anthem. That is how you react with your anger and frustration? This is a lack of self-control? No, this is how you feel. You said it right there. Yes, I said it. You poured your deepest, most heartfelt emotions onto the digital page and posted it, and now it cost you a volunteer position. Just added himself to the list. This guy keeps a list of what he calls no good N-words. This is the casual racism that exists. And it exists in positions like this and others. This is the problem. If you are screaming and yelling about somebody taking a knee, which on the advice of a combat vet, Kaepernick did rather than sitting, you are missing the point entirely. You are that snowflake that you probably rail against at every opportunity. What does it harm you? If somebody kneels, it doesn't. And that's what life's about. That's my belief. Do what you want, as long as you don't hurt others. What Kaepernick is trying to point out is an unfair justice system that does affect minorities greater than it does others. When you talk about white privilege, some of you don't seem to understand it. I will let Dale Hansen of Dallas, ABC, WFAA, as I always say, someone else can explain it more articulately than I can.
Donald Trump has said he supports a peaceful protest because it's an American's right, but not this protest, and there's the problem. Any protest you don't agree with is a protest that should be stopped. Martin Luther King should have marched across a different bridge. Young black Americans should have gone to a different college and found a different lunch counter. And college kids in the 60s had no right to protest an immoral war. I served in the military during the Vietnam War, and my foot hurt too. But I've served anyway. My best friend in high school was killed in Vietnam, and Carol Meyer will be 18 years old forever, and he did not die so that you could decide who is a patriot and who loves America more.
That echoes what I said yesterday. You can wrap yourself in the flag, and you can scream from the rooftops you love America, but your words are hollow if your actions go against what America stands for. Dale Hansen continues.
It has not gone unnoticed that Trump has spoken out against the Mexicans who want to come to America for a better life, against the Muslims, and now against the black athlete. But he says nothing for days about the white man who marched under a Nazi flag in Charlottesville, except to remind us there were good people there. And when he finally tried to say the right thing, not one of them was called an SOB or should be fired. We have white men in America who wave the Nazi flag and the Confederate flag, and he's concerned about taking a knee because it disrespects this flag. We use that flag to sell mattresses and beer. We wear it as a swimsuit. We wrap our bald heads in a flag bandana and stick it in our pants because we disrespect that flag every day.
We'll continue in just a minute, touching on what Cuba mentioned a moment ago, the fact that perhaps being uninformed is the biggest danger to the United States of America. That's next on Ed Says. I just find it interesting, this everybody's so mad about somebody taking a knee in protest. But when Kim Davis did it, many of you were out there were like, yes, that's her right. That's her right, even though it was against the law, whereas taking a knee is not. And it was part of her job, and they decided to discipline her as her bosses. Notice that is up to the bosses to discipline Kaepernick, and notice the league clearly has, because he has no job. But Kim Davis thought she had the right to the job, and her religious beliefs one-upped everything else. Well, they did not. So if you championed Kim Davis and condemn Colin Kaepernick, I hate to break it to you, but you're wrong. Because she was a public servant who should have been doing her duty and was denying people their rights. Whereas Colin Kaepernick is offending your sensibilities by breaking tradition rather than any law. So guess what? You're wrong. R-O-N-G, wrong. And yes, I spelled it like that on purpose because of my next point. One-third of Americans don't know Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act are the same thing. Nearly two-thirds of Americans can't name the branches of government. Nearly half of Americans don't know Puerto Ricans are fellow citizens. We are wallowing in ignorance and celebrating it. The greatest nation in the world is falling behind because people are too lazy or too stubborn to face truths. There are people out there screaming that the planet is flat, that climate change and global warming aren't real, that we revolve or the sun revolves around us. These are legitimate concerns, upending everything man has worked for in research and studies in the name of stubbornness and ignorance. That is a real problem. When two-thirds of the nation doesn't know the branches of government, but boy, do they all have opinions on something. 888-574-2723. Let's go to Mark in West Hartford. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, Ed. So, first of all, I laughed at the volunteer firefighter. How is he going to live without all that money and benefits? You know how he's going to live? Because he wasn't getting paid and getting benefits anyway. Who cares if he lost his job? And you know what? He didn't. He wasn't in the fire truck when he announced it. That was his right to do so. He's an idiot, and I don't agree with what he said. But if that was his off time and he wasn't in the firehouse using firehouse equipment, computers to convey his hatred, then you know what? Let him be an idiot on his own time. But look at how hypocrisy works. The other thing is you brought up recognition and awards, right? Do you really think Great Goose is the best tasting vodka in the world?
When did I bring up recognition and awards? Refresh my memory.
Well, you just got challenged yesterday. Somebody said, oh, Colin Kaepernick, what's he doing in the community? And you have to bring up that he received an award for his good deeds, okay? A lot of times these, you know, Governor Malloy has awards and recognitions for what he does with veterans. He's the first guy that ever ended homelessness for veterans.
So, Mark, first of all, the award was from the Players Association, and then I backed it up with his long list of deeds. So don't try to misconstrue or sully his achievements that somebody accused him of not having by downplaying the idea of awards. I get it. Pabst Blue Ribbon won a blue ribbon 100-and-something
exactly.
years ago.
Exactly.
But that
here.
Doesn't
but
take away from
this?
His achievements.
Ed, you know what's going to fix this in the end? Do you remember back in Obama's first few years, we tried to take Christ out of Christmas? I even got caught up in it. I'm a Catholic. I'm going around saying happy holidays, and I'm going, this is crazy. The majority of the country believes in Christ. They're Christians. Believe in Christmas, right? And then guess what happens? All these big-name stores bought into it. Holiday trees, holiday wreaths, holiday music. Okay, we had everything but a holiday candelabra for the menorah, and then
so
guess
Mark,
what? They started losing money.
Mark, I hate to break it to you, that number of Christians or Catholics has been dwindling for years and will continue to do so. And just because you are a majority doesn't mean you have to ignore and can't recognize that there are other holidays out there during the season. That is why there is.
Of course, I recognize
you. Don't
why,
though.
Why would you think
don't
I
because
don't?
You want complete ownership of it.
But
you
I don't ask the others to name near something else because it offends
me. Nobody asked anybody to do it. Nobody asked any. Show me the petition, Mark.
You can't say that to
Mark,
me.
Show me
I
the petition where somebody asked. So show me where people said, oh, we have, nobody is changing Christmas. As far as I know, it is still called Christmas. And isn't it still a national holiday?
Because you know
holiday?
Why? Money fixes everything. All those big name stores.
Your argument, Mark, we've been on such a good run that I'm going to let you go now because that is the most asinine argument ever. First of all, that fire chief lost his volunteer gig for his racist statement. Words have ramifications. They have consequences. The government cannot infringe on your right to say things, which is what Trump was trying to do by complaining about Kaepernick's protest. The government cannot stop this idiot who volunteered of being a chief from saying what he said. But there are consequences. We are allowed to judge you on it. And if it costs you your job, if it costs you your friends, if it costs you family, I can guarantee you right now that if one of my close friends said something like this to me or on Facebook, they would be quickly cut from my life. I had this argument with somebody on Facebook who was, he's another talk show host. He was defending Robert Kraft, saying, oh, how tough it was for him to come out against his lifelong friend, Donald Trump, and how Trump was there when something happened, blah, blah, blah. No, it should not be hard to distance yourself from someone who is garbage when they show that they are. When they say something like this fire chief or the actions of Trump, I don't care how long you've known them. If your best friend for life goes somewhere and mows down innocent people with whatever he decides to use, you can't defend him and go, oh, but he was such a good guy for 15, 20 years that I knew him. Maybe he was, but you don't stay his friend. Words have consequences. You can be judged on them. Same with actions. It shouldn't have been hard for Kraft to distance himself from Trump and go, well, maybe this was a bad idea. Play me the world's smallest violin, all right? Relationships end. Sometimes it's because somebody does something stupid and bad. This fire chief, the volunteer fire chief, who's now embarrassed for his own words, maybe he should have thought about that before he posted it. Oh, but I was upset. You were that upset about football? Meanwhile, Trump's boycott fails miserably. Ratings up 63% for Monday Night Football. His hatred for the NFL dates back to when he tried to move the USFL against it into the fall. It's just... Oh, and then don't forget that Trump was supporting Luther Strange in Alabama against Roy Moore, who is equally insane, by the way. He's one of those people that believes the earth is 6,000 years old, among other things, definitely against gay marriage. And Luther Strange was running against him. Trump threw it all in behind Luther Strange. And then when Luther Strange loses, Trump deleted his tweets. What kind of conviction is that? I've said some shady stuff on my Twitter feed, I'm sure, over the years. I've had it for quite a while. But I don't think I've deleted anything offensive. I've left it there because I've learned from it. What kind of backbone and spine does a man have when he can't stand by his convictions, saying, I stood with Luther Strange even though he lost? Trump loses again. We'll be right back. Oh, boy. Sometimes people's words speak for themselves. 888-574-2723. I don't know how we got from a protest about police violence against minorities becoming about the flag and the anthem to Christ is no longer in Christmas. Who's responsible for that? Maybe the practicing Catholics, the Christians, for letting it being co-opted? I don't know. I enjoy Christmas. I celebrate the Santa version, but that's just me. 888-574-2723. Puerto Rico finally getting attention from the president as he finally mentions a visit. Apparently Tuesday is going to be the day. Talking about how difficult it is to assist Puerto Rico. Oh, are you not getting that audio? All right, let me pull that back up. Let's see. Let's try this one.
We've gotten A pluses on Texas and on Florida, and we will also on Puerto Rico. But the difference is this is an island sitting in the middle of an ocean, and it's a big ocean. It's a very big ocean. And we're doing a really good job.
Please. Please explain that to me. I tend to be a harsh critic of myself and others. Trump not so much, giving himself an A-plus on Texas and Florida, saying they will also get an A-plus on Puerto Rico, saying it is difficult because it's a big ocean, a very big ocean. Now, that is not debatable. It is a big ocean. But this is not the type of simplistic explanation I expect from the leader of the free world. Actually hearing the news, apparently they need drivers. They have lots of supplies. They just don't have people to drive the food and water to those that need it. And I figure a plane full of those people could make it very easy. FEMA's coordinating airlifts of U.S. Air Force C-17 cargo planes, 8 aircraft delivering. And in order to move that, it's not as though the things that reach our stores don't travel these oceans. It is such a simplistic way of looking at it. So could the government have either sent supplies in advance or sent cargo after the fact? Shouldn't it have gotten there by now? Or sooner? Yes. Many say yes. 888-574-2723. Let's go to Joe in Newington. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, Ed. How you doing?
Doing all right. What's up?
Hey, a couple things, if possible. Like trading and buying and slaves is a bad thing, right? But consider the NFL players, they don't mind getting traded and sold and, in that type of a realm. You know, it's just the hypocrisy of it.
Are you equating sports contracts and employment to slavery?
Well, they do get traded and caught, and, I mean, there is something to it a little
bit. Thank you, Joe. Yeah, you know what you're missing? I don't know. Financial compensation, freedom to sign or not sign. Like, are you kidding me? This is what I'm dealing with. This is the two-thirds of the nation that doesn't know the branches. That kind of thought process is... I can't even... Congratulations. You have stumped me. Let's go to Larry in Bridgeport. Good morning, Larry.
Hey, hi, Ed.
What's going on?
Not much. Legislative, judicial, and executive branches of government.
Thank you very much. You passed the test.
Thanks. Just a quick comment, if I could. You know, again, the problem with Trump is he sometimes just comes across as this simpleton. But let me just say something without getting into the weeds here or the bushes in terms of politics. I have a friend of mine who's down in Puerto Rico right now, and he's involved in relief efforts. And I think there are between 7 and 9 airports there on the island, including the largest airport, which is in San Juan. They all were destroyed by the storm, okay? I just figured I would point that out to everybody, that they were all destroyed by the storm,
and that the San Juan Airport is in the process of being rebuilt. I think their aircraft are starting to land there as of yesterday or today. So I just thought I would point that out.
Nobody's saying it's not difficult. I think what people are saying is that perhaps preparation could have been more and explanation could have been better. How many times do you excuse him for being, I believe the word was a simpleton?
Right.
How many times shouldn't we expect better from our leaders?
Oh, I understand. I agree. I'd like him to be more articulate and to be, a little more specific. I agree with you on that, no question. And so I'm not going to argue with you on that. I just wanted to point out, setting aside the pros, any pros and cons, Republicans, just trying to point out the facts that, when the airports are knocked out the way they were, and that was quite a storm to hit the island. I don't think the island's been hit, from what my good friend told me, it hasn't been hit since, I think, the 30s like that. So
the point I just wanted to make was that, you know, they are, I think they have teams there. The military has teams along with some civilian personnel trying to rebuild the airports with heavy equipment. So I just thought I'd point that out because I just think it's important that it's a little different than what happened with Harvey and Irma hitting Texas and Florida. I think they're all different situations.
I think the argument is that more preparation could have gone into Puerto Rico.
I agree. There's no question they could have been a little more prepared. But I also think, and I'm not defending anybody, I also think they are spread a little thin with those other two situations. So I'm not defending anybody, but I also think the government's resources could be a little stronger in these areas. And I am a believer in global warming. Okay, I don't want you to think that I'm not, because I do believe in that.
But is the Earth flat?
Right.
Thank you.
Can I mention one other quick comment,
yeah,
if I could? Concerning the protesting on the, you know, with the NFL games and all that. I already pulled my plug on ESPN, and the reason I had pulled my plug on ESPN is, pro or con, I just don't want politics mixed in with my sports, okay? I just don't want it. So I pulled my plug on ESPN a while ago because I don't care what politics they're preaching in your face. I don't care what it is, left or right. I just don't want it when I'm watching my sports, okay? So that's why I pulled my plug on that network. But in terms of the protests, I think everyone has a right to protest whenever they want. Personally, myself, my own opinion is, if you're wearing a uniform and you're getting paid to do a job, okay, I don't care if you're a police officer, whatever your profession is, you're getting paid to do a job, try to protest as Jim Brown, the former football great, said, you know, try to protest at a time maybe that's less controversial than during the national anthem. And Jim Brown is not someone who is part of the, you know, the right-wing establishment by any means. He's always spoken up. He defended Muhammad Ali when he didn't want to go to Vietnam. He was one of the first sports athletes. But I just wanted to point that out, that, you know, Bill Russell said the same thing. He says, you know what, you want to protest? We're all for, we defend Kaepernick's right to protest, and the president is wrong. But in terms of when to do it, that's all. So I just wanted to make that comment.
All right, thank you for the call. 888-574-2723. I would argue that sports and politics have always been intertwined. And in this case, who intertwined them? I mean, it was the president of the United States who has started this firestorm again. As Mark Cuban pointed out, if you want to keep sports and politics separate, don't accept money from anyone in sports. And you should probably look at how many people gave Donald Trump money. I mean, the history of sports is full of politics. And I don't think you can remove politics, particularly social justice, from any facet of life. If it offends you, then you did the right thing. Don't consume it. Don't pay for ESPN. Don't pay for jerseys. Don't go to games. I hate to break it to those of you who are leading boycotts, because there's plenty of other people who'll pick up the slack. In fact, it'll probably make it easier to get in and maybe a more enjoyable experience. But the truth of the matter is, sports and politics have always been intertwined, just like music and politics. Literary works and politics. Politics is life. And for some people, they need politics for the change necessary for them to be equal. So you can't argue that you want it separate. Sorry. There's politics in movies. You might not recognize the message, but it's there. If you liked the Nolan trilogy of Batman movies, it was influenced by politics. I mean, it's just part of the fabric of our life. So if you're one of those people that says, I just want to be able to enjoy my game without anything, sorry, that's not how it works. Because then you're getting to pick and choose when somebody injects their opinion or their politics. Now, if if the team decides to discipline him for that, and they can, and it gets fought by the players' union, and the players' union loses, well, then there's discipline. But look at it. Kaepernick has lost his job. What more discipline do you want? A guy that didn't break any written rules, any laws. Meanwhile, Michael Vick got another job, among others. There are far worse people who got jobs in the NFL after being convicted and serving time. Vick is working as a commentator now. But you're mad at a guy who knelt for the national anthem. It's not as though he's burning a flag during the national anthem or turning his back on it or spitting in its direction. He simply knelt on the advice of a veteran who happened to also play football, as it was seen as more respectful. He did everything in his power to make his protest as respectful as possible, and people are ignoring what his message is. And his message isn't about the flag, and it isn't about the national anthem. It is about a societal issue that people of color face in this nation. And if you can't get that, you're missing the point. 888-574-2723. Let's go to Cam in Waterbury. Good morning, Cam.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi. I just have a quick question that he said before about the flag. When he talked about the commercialism of the flag and how they first started playing it at the games and stuff like that, I don't understand how come people aren't recognizing that. How come that's not brought up as a point? People are just going berserk.
Oh, I've brought it up multiple times. I've detailed how it started. It was originally done to recognize a player or a soldier coming back to play, and then it was popular. I believe it was in New York where it happened, and then other teams caught on to it, and all of a sudden, it's this tradition. We do all sorts of events where we don't start with the national anthem. I think the national anthem should be reserved for military and governmental affairs, not my kid's baseball game on a Saturday that's already going to take 8 hours, or even a professional football game. What is the purpose for it other than nationalism?
But you know what was truly amazing? These people are getting all the hatred and all this just spewing out. When, take the fight with McGregor and all of them, and the other guy.
Mayweather.
The other guy, he was a abuser. I mean, I protested the fight. I refused to watch. I refused to even participate. I wasn't going to buy it because I felt like he's an animal. And I'm like, you guys don't care about that. You don't care about what these guys do in the NFL. That, like you said, the killers, the drugs, just the whole thing. Nobody really cares about that. You sweep that on the rug because you want to watch the football game. That's no big deal. But because now all of a sudden people are I'm personally offended because this guy refused to salute the flag or, to stand or whatever. And now everybody's losing their minds.
Yeah, Cam, you're absolutely right. I thank you for the call. It's lazy patriotism. It's exactly what it is.
You learn something every day, and I learned a lot listening to you, and I try to, because I want to keep an open mind. Let's concentrate on Connecticut.
There's a lot going on here.
Yeah, let's focus on that. That's what my priorities is. Well, but thank you, Dan, and I hope you extend more than just an hour, because you have a lot of interesting things that people should be paying attention to.
Well, Cam, I thank you.
You're welcome.
I am Ed. It's all right. I had 2 hours. I had to cut back to one because of other responsibilities. They gave me the option to give up the show entirely. And I said, no, I want to continue to do an hour because I think, especially on a station that leans one direction like this one, being the sole voice, perhaps slightly leaning the other, and pointing out the perhaps inaccuracies, hypocrisies, and whatever else of others is important. Balance is important. But you are absolutely right. People just want their entertainment, and they're willing to overlook CTE. Some people revel in it. Oh, they're killing themselves for my entertainment. I mean, it goes back to gladiator days. These football players damage their bodies, and some have committed crimes, and somebody said, oh, we didn't see it like that back in the day. BS, it just wasn't reported. Believe me. But you've welcomed back people like Vic, but heaven forbid somebody do something that is socially active and responsible. And you're offended. Oh, my flag. Ugh. 888-574-2723. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll be right back on Ed Says. Going back to a previous caller who was complaining about the phrase Happy Holidays and we're getting rid of Christmas. December 5th, 1863, in a publication, Happy Holidays, the Philadelphia Inquirer. January 6th, 1890, Duluth News Tribune, Happy Holidays. December 21st, 1890, Macon Telegraph, Hail Happy Holidays, Peace on Earth, Goodwill Toward Man. Happy Holidays is not a new phrase, just so you know. 1890. But keep getting mad about nothing. What I think it is it's this the table theory I've said. Is that some people who have had a seat at the table the entire time feel ownership over the table. And they don't see the table as getting bigger when you add other people. They see the table as being the same size and them being squeezed out. Oh, I have to share this table with other people? But this has been my table all this time. I've had no problems. I've got it great. They want to sit at my table? No. You're over there. But this table represents America, and it is big enough for everyone. If you're mad, and boy, I hope you are, and I'd love to hear about the war on Christmas, even though it's as fake as can be. That's what this stuff stems from. That is that volunteer fire chief putting someone on his N-word list. He has that list, and he said, there I said it, and now he regrets it. Forethought. That's what's lacking here. He reacted emotionally, and it exposed his true self. And it's disappointing because that is just an example of what's really out there, of people who will be kind to your face and then say things like that. The fact that that reaction came from him based on a football game, on a team staying in the locker room during a football game to remove themselves from the controversy. And I saw people burning their tickets and their jerseys in anger. Oh, that's smart. That's your money you're putting up in flames. Good, congratulations. But go ahead. You're free to do whatever you want. The team's just going to resell those tickets when you don't show up. It's how it works. Believe me. I've been there. And saying, oh, you know, Villanueva, he stood out there alone. That rest of the team is scum. Except he admitted that it was a miscommunication that put him out there alone. And that in his words, he threw his fellow players under the bus. Even those you think support your stance most of the time do not. And I've always said, I mentioned that argument I got on into with someone on Facebook regarding Bob Kraft and him having to come out against his buddy Trump and how it's hard for people to, renounce friendships or to come out against someone. It shouldn't be. You don't have to agree with people 100% of the time. In fact, he can like Trump still and disagree with him. I disagree with a great many of my friends. One of my best friends, and I used to argue all the time, because I was a very left-leaning liberal and he was a very right-leaning conservative. We both moved to center as we grew up because we were kids and we learned. And now we still debate and argue and we're on the same page more times than not. And we live very different lives. But you know who someone is. And that was my argument against this individual on Facebook, that Bob Kraft has no excuse. It shouldn't be hard. He should have been a better judge of character. As there's a book, The Useless, that's coming out next year about the USFL. Spoke with coaches, players, owners, and everyone involved with the league. 420 people in total, except for Trump. Jeff Perlman is the author and quoted in Newsweek that the NFL owners there saw him as a scumbag huckster. Even though he tried to get into the NFL, and that's why he bought his way into the USFL, and he helped put the USFL out of business. He actually had other owners in the USFL challenge the NFL directly and had an antitrust lawsuit against them that was successful and got the USFL $3. All the best deals. Let's go to Dave in Waterbury. Good morning, Dave.
Yeah, Ed, and we have to remember, too, that that the Russians are trying to exploit the divisions we have. I mean, when you get, everyone says, oh, I saw this on Facebook. You know, there's still probably a lot of fake stuff going on there, even though we're not in an election cycle.
Absolutely.
You know? Because, I mean, it's, when you divide people, when people don't feel accepted at the table, yet they might be in the military, they might have a relative who has national security credentials. You know, these are all ways that if you get everybody angry at each other and feels this country is not for them, this is how you recruit spies. This is how you weaken a democracy. I mean, this is, we have to remember, we have an enemy. We have Putin, who's very sophisticated. He understands a lot of our flaws, and he's exploiting them. He's pushing, trying to push us against each other.
How many people know that 21 states got a report that there were attempts to hack their systems? How many people are aware of that while they're yelling about the flag?
Right, I agree. And it's, you know, and next time it might be some other party that is on the short end of this hacking. I mean, we have to stick together, you know. We have to, I'm a big church goer, but, you know, I used to kind of express my views politically. But it's divisive sometimes. We have to not... We can do it quietly and respectfully, but we got to stick together as a country. You know, we have some great challenges coming on, and from there, and some of them are overseas. And we can't be dividing ourselves. We got to have a community where we all understand we have a place at the table, and we're building a great country. That's what we have to do.
Now, a lot of it is the human condition. People who people feel more comfortable if there is somebody with less. You know, if you can look towards someone else and go, I'm doing better than them, we feel more comfortable. That's why people will rail against, public assistance, and they'll rail against programs that help those in need, because they don't see themselves as possibly ever being there, and it gives them comfort.
Yeah, and of course, again, there are foreign powers that are trying to whip this stuff up.
Yep.
You know? And that's why they picked that's why they went for a candidate that they thought would be very divisive. Oh, we got who we got. Let's, you know, despite who we got, let's try to make the country and the state a success, and let's try to, you know, be a little kind to a total stranger today. Open a door for somebody of a different race or creed or something. Do something to make us better, you know.
Thank you for the call, and that's a good message. Even though we can disagree on politics, you can still be a human being. That's what the premise of this show. We can argue all day long, but at the end of the day, yeah, I'll hold the door for you. I'll have a beer with you, because I just want to get through the day and go on with my life. I want you to be able to do what you do as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. The same goes for me. That does it for today's show. I'll return tomorrow. Thanks, Derek, my producer. Have a great afternoon.